We're going to have a good time. I went back a little bit, journeying through 1 John. Really, at the end of the day, it's all about love, isn't it? I think revival, the fruit of revival, as Pastor calls it, I like calling it a manifestation of the kingdom. Who's right? Jesus. Our whole objection here on this earth, born of the Father, is to make sure that his life in us is seen externally. And if you don't love somebody, you surely don't want them healed. I can tell you that right now. There's but one gospel. The same gospel that tells me and you to love each other is the same gospel that me and you say we believe when we're believing God for our healing. Are you with me on that? You believe the gospel out of one heart. There's not two gospels. You don't have two hearts. You got one heart to believe one gospel. The same gospel that we disannul is the same gospel that we say we believe when it comes to our healing. They don't coexist, my friend. It does not coexist. The gospel of the kingdom is about holiness. The gospel of the kingdom is about holiness. And a manifestation of the kingdom is only found through the love, mercy, and compassion of the Father. If I can love you the way Jesus loves you, then I want you healed. Isn't it amazing that in the epistles, he never gives us instruction on how to get one healed? But he gives us instruction on how to love one another. If I can love you like he loves you, if I can have the mercy and compassion that God is, if I can work that out within myself, therein is a manifestation of the kingdom. Amen. Isn't it so amazing that the Apostle John, we know for sure, walked for 3.5 years with Jesus. Maybe he knew him before, I don't know. But we know for sure that he walked 3.5 years with Christ. Isn't it amazing that he wrote through little epistles, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. We know, of course, he wrote the book of Revelation and the Gospel of John. But isn't it amazing that he concluded who God was? John concluded who God was through the conduct of one man. Let that sink in a little bit. God concluded who God was based on the conduct and love of one man named Jesus Christ. God the Father was seen in Christ Jesus as he operated and lived this life day by day. It's on us, my friends. It is absolutely, positively on me and you. For God to be seen in this world, he has to be seen through the laying down of our life process. It is found nowhere else but that me and you would put on the new man and put off the old one. Therein is revival. The one man would conclude who God was based on the conduct of one man. All that God was manifested by one man with a born-again spirit like we have, and we have the same Holy Ghost that he had. In humanity, God was revealed through the conduct of one man. That hits the spot with me. That hits the absolute spot with me that God was seen and glorified by the love that one man walked in. It's on us, friends. It's on us. Nathan, they say Nathan 101, he's on the power of the born-again spirit, the life of God, and I'm so with him on that, but my main vein right now is the love of God. Because if I can love you the way he loves you, therein is a manifestation of the kingdom. It's incredible that in 2 John and 3 John, very small epistles, the Apostle John said this, I would love to write to you with paper and ink, but I choose to come to you and speak face to face that our joy may be full. But isn't it amazing when he wrote 2 John and 3 John, he said, I want to speak to you face to face, not with ink and pen or ink and paper, that our joy may be full. But isn't it amazing that he said, there's other things that I want to say to you. but I'm going to lay this foundation. And what was that foundation? The love of God. He said, I have many things to say to you, but I'm going to tell you this, that I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He said, the greatest joy that I could have as your father in the spirit is to hear that you walk according to the truth that's in you. Many things to say to you, but I'm going to lay down the love of God. It's all on us, our friends, that he would choose to write two small epistles and lay the foundation of love once again. Now, the love of God is all-inclusive towards people. But now, entrance into the kingdom is not all-inclusive. A man or woman must be born again. So his love towards all, towards even towards those that hate him, his love is, he loves everybody so, so much. But entrance into the kingdom, it's not all-inclusive, my friends. It is very narrow. We must be born again. Amen. We must be born again. Now, the love of God is not broad. It's narrow. The love of God has one meaning. It doesn't have two meanings. I hear a lot of people say, well, this person loves God with all their heart. But let me tell you something. The definition of loving God is that we keep his commandments. You hear of a sinner that's struggling. I mean, of a Christian that's struggling, maybe in whatever they're doing. I don't want to single anything out. And then people will say, well, they love God with all their heart. They're just struggling. No, they don't. Loving God is keeping his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, he told the 11 this, the 12, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the body of Christ, we don't want to offend anybody. We say that a struggling Christian that's doing this or that, well, they love God with all their heart. But no, there is no but. Jesus said, if you love me, he said, if you love me, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the love of God, it's not broad. It's narrow. To walk in the love of God is for me and you to keep that holy, undefiled word regardless of whatever we face. That is the love of God. Well, Terry, she's a good person. She ran off with this man. And she didn't. I'm just saying, because I know her very well. She left with this man, but oh God, she just loves God with all her heart. She's not connecting the dots right now. But she loves God. No, she doesn't. No. It's got nothing to do with connecting dots. It's got everything to do with obeying this. But the gospel of the kingdom, we don't preach that anymore. Monetary gain now is gain in the kingdom, is success in the kingdom. What about our brothers in Syria that are being beheaded because of their faith? Are they failures? Where have we gone? What are we listening to? What are we reading? We know nothing about true persecution. Not yet. Trust me, it's coming. But Jesus said, if you love me, if you love me, this is what he said. You don't have to pray in the spirit to get this great revelation. If you love me, he said, keep my commandments. Well, Brother Homer, I'm praying in the spirit and I love God. Praying in the Holy Ghost is a revelation gift. Praying in the Holy Ghost will reveal truth to you. Praying in the Holy Ghost won't do the truth for you. We got to do the truth. Some people are having a hard time transitioning out of that. Well, Brother Homer, I don't care what you say. No. It's not what I say. It's what we got to put on the new man, which after God is created in holiness and true righteousness. We got to put it on. Let me tell you, I prayed in tongues more than the apostles. And there's still stuff that I got to put on. Praying in tongues is a revelation gift. It doesn't put on the new man for you. That has to be done. We have to steward that. We steward that. We steward the putting on of the new man and the putting off of the old man. We steward that. The Holy Ghost doesn't steward that. Are you coming against praying in the spirit? No, that's my lifestyle. I get this stuff because I pray in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will take you and reveal the truth in the truth. He won't do the truth for you. That's up to me and you as stewards of the grace of God. He said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. He didn't say, if you love me, pray in tongues and then keep them. He said, if you love me, keep them. Steward it. Do it. That's what he said. And I'm going to say this as nicely as I can. I don't care if you get mad at me, because I'm giving you biblical truth. This word is what we live by. This word is what we live by. Concluding with the love of God and how to walk in the love of God. I love 1 John. I have years in this book. If there's anything that I want, during the hurricane, the first night or the first day before the storm, I went through Psalms 91 20, 25 times, just depositing victory inside of me. But during those 7 or 8 hours of 120 mile an hour winds, before Almighty God, I was in my room. It's so good not to be scared. It's so good not to fear death. It feels so good. 120 mile an hour winds blowing, that you know your roof is going to stay intact. Do you know what I was working on during those 8 hours of winds? On my love walk. Thinking of the scripture, meditating the scripture, thinking, my God, if I could just walk in another ounce of love to bring you glory, Lord. Not one bit of fear. Not one fear of death. Well, I figured this, if I died during a hurricane, I'd wake up with two great perfect eyes. So how bad can that be? It's a wonderful thing to not fear death. Wonderful. Homer, you're crazy? Maybe. But this book's made me crazy. And it's made me fearless. We got to put on the new man. And I've understood that hey, Robert, thank you. You know, John spent 3.5 years with Christ that we know of, and he wrote these masterpieces. He wrote these masterpieces, and he said things like in 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus, chapter 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Everyone that loveth that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. Listen to what he said. You know this, but we're going to go back through it again. He said, by this, John said this, writing to believers, by this we know that we love. By this know we that we love the children of God. When we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. Listen to what he said. But his commandments, they're not grievous. They're not a burden. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. When we were sinners, was it a burden to do evil? Or did we flow right in it? We were born of the world. So therefore, he says, if you're born of God, his commandments are not grievous. Why? Why would he make such a bold statement? Obeying the commandments of God, he said, they're not grievous to me and you. You know why? Because the commandment that we're to do, the commandment that we're to do is the very commandment that's in us. It wasn't hard to serve the world when we weren't born again because the spirit of the world was in us. Now he said, the commandment of God,
They're not a burden to me and you, because the very thing that I ask you to do is the very thing that's written in your heart. He said, by this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. So if I'm to love you, there's something line upon line that must be done. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Well, the first thing I must do to love God is to keep his commandments. And to keep his commandments qualifies me to love God. And loving God qualifies me to love you. Then I got to keep his word. If I'm not keeping his word, I'm not loving him. And if I'm not loving him, I'm sure the heck not loving you. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, John said, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God, love his brother also. So loving God is that I would keep his word regardless of what I feel. And if I keep his word regardless of what I feel, that, my friends, is loving you. If I say I love God and I can't stand you who I've seen, I'm a liar. I'm a liar about what? I'm about the liar saying that I'm loving God. I can't love God and treat you like trash. That is a flat-out misconception. That is a lie. That is darkness. You're leaving the new nature and walking in darkness when I'm mean to you. See, you're not my problem. The commandment originates with my Father. He told me to love you. He's my problem if I can't stand you. If loving you means that I love him, if I don't love him, I sure the heck don't love you. But if I keep his word, if I keep his word, that, my friend, qualifies me to love you. See, by this we know. By what, John? By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God, we keep his commandments. So keeping his commandments means that I love God. And when I love God, it means I love you. So if I have his commandment and I'm not keeping it, I'm not loving God. And if I'm not loving God, I'm not loving you. And if I'm not loving you, I'm not walking in truth. And if I'm not loving you and think that I'm walking in truth when I'm hating you, I'm in darkness. I'm deceiving my very own heart. I often say to myself these words, and I cry. You know I cry a lot. Beloved, let us love one another. And I utter those words over and over again. Beloved, let us love one another. You know, the Good Samaritan. How many know the parable of the Good Samaritan? The issue is that the Good Samaritan loved the man that was left half dead. The truth of that parable is the Good Samaritan loved God. Out of that loving God, it paralleled him loving the one that was left half dead. The commandment of God written in our heart. See, the 11 knew. They knew what loving God was. They knew what it was. And this love I've been after for a long time, and I've been in error because I've been chasing after this love. When in essence, I don't have to chase love. I have to do love. Which is keeping the commandment of God. Regardless of what I feel. Regardless of what's at stake. Regardless of how sick the devil tries to make me think that I am. We never have the right to exit the love of God. The 11 understood this. They knew that whatever contradicted the word of God was a corpse. A lifeless corpse. It was rendered weak. They knew
what came to oppose the love of God inside of them, which was a body of sin. They knew that. That whatever contradicted the love of God that came forth out of their spirit, they knew that that was coming forth from a corpse. Are you with me on that? From a corpse. And this love that I so want to walk in, and every day the image of it is growing in me and growing in me. Do you fail sometimes? Yes, I do. Why? Because I'm yet to comprehend what he is inside of me. You have to understand 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 5, and 6 to walk in the love of God. You have to comprehend it. You have to comprehend it. I love sound doctrine. You know, you can't give yourself to the Holy Spirit and not see sound doctrine for what it is. But preaching sound doctrine is not enough. Doing sound doctrine is fulfillment. Doing the sound doctrine that we preach here is the fulfillment of the kingdom. Doing it. Paul said this, I think it's 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, you've known my doctrine. You've known my, what was his doctrine? The doctrine of Christ was Paul's doctrine. He said, you've known, listen to this carefully. Listen to it. Listen. We can't be content with just quoting and saying. You can quote and say the truth and still live like a hellion. We can't be content that we pray in the Holy Ghost and that we're better than everybody else. I've heard people in here rip people because they're not filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but they don't pray in tongues. Yes, but people that have prayed in tongues have done some crazy things before. It's the putting on of the new man that the Father's looking for. But Paul said this. He said, you've known my doctrine. What was your doctrine, Paul? My doctrine was the doctrine of Christ, Jesus Christ crucified. He said, you've known my doctrine. You've known my manner of life. You've known my purpose, my faith, my long suffering. You've known my faith. You've known my long suffering. You've known my charity. You've known my patience. This is one that we know nothing about. Persecutions, afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord deliver me, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Meaning, every instance in my life, every situation, every trial, every tribulation, I hung on to the faith and I served God with a pure conscience. Moments didn't dictate to me walking in love or not. I did it because I have a purpose, and that is that Almighty God would be seen in me. That all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Hating you, that's not persecution, because I wasn't living godly hating you. But now if I loved you when you hated me, you might just persecute me. But that's okay. I can rejoice because I did the will of my Father. So we got to understand 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 5, and 6, and chapter 1 about the death sentence that we have inside of us. I want to walk in the love of God. I want to see you on your worst day and love you like he loved you. I don't care if you're black, white, homosexual, Muslim. The love of God is to always be kept. I hugged, maybe 2 years ago, I hugged a guy came to my house and he was gay. And he came to me and he gave me a hug. He said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hug you. I know how you Christians are towards gay people. That's what he said. I said, you know what? I'm not this Christian. Come here, boy. And I gave him a big old hug. I don't care who's seeing me. That's the love of God. So I know how you Christians are towards us gay people. Sir, I offer you an apology for our ignorance and stupidity. A complete apology. This is one thing we have to know about the love of God. If you can't understand what I'm fixing to teach you out of 2 Corinthians, we'll never walk in it. Never. The love of God is that me and you keep the inward witness. And if we keep the inward witness, that qualifies me to love you, because the commandment originates with him inside of me regarding you. Did you catch that?
if you did me wrong, and I know that the wrong that you did me, I'm already off in the left field. Because I'm to look in the law of liberty before I get mad at you for what you did to me. If I look into the law of liberty and I keep it, I'm okay with you. Because if I walk in love, you can't offend me. You can talk about me. You can cuss me. If I'm walking in love towards the Father, you can't offend me. You don't have the power to offend me if I'm walking in love. You don't have that power. I've taken it away from you by loving Jesus Christ and obeying his gospel. I've taken that power away from you. But if I'm inconsistent in my walk with God, I give you that power to offend me. The apostles concluded this. They concluded this. Listen carefully. What we're after, what me and you are after, is I want to know how to walk in the love of God. I love what Paul said. He said, always. 2 Corinthians 4, always. Listen carefully. Always bearing about the body. Listen carefully. Listen. Don't let this be just another service. Always bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. This is the part I'm going to teach you on. For we that live are always delivered unto death. We that live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. If we do not know how to die the death, the life of the Almighty God will never be made manifest externally. We don't have the right to offer an offense. He said, always bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord. We that live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life, why do we die the death? It's for Jesus' sake. So the life of Jesus in us would be made manifest even in this mortal flesh. But that life is not manifest when we do not die daily. There's a powerful light hidden inside of us that's smothered by a human narrative and a human ideology that says, I had to offend you back. I had to say it back. I had to do it. She looked good. I had to do it. He looked good. That is not the dying of the Lord daily. That's why the world doesn't want what we have. We don't know what it means to die and to walk in the love of God. He said, we that live are always delivered unto death, that the life of Jesus or the life of God would be seen by the world. Homer, Kirsten, Marty, you're going through hard times. Will you lay down your life today in that hard time? Will you square your shoulders, look up to heaven, and do what's right for my sake so that the world can see who I am inside of you? That, my friends, is the love of God. If we do not know how to die the death, the Father will never be magnified and glorified in this world. We'll be a dime a dozen Christian. I don't want to be a dime a dozen Christian. I'd rather be dead. If I can't live to glorify him, I'm a failure. If I'm going to live the rest of my life in inconsistency, take me home. I don't want to be a dime a dozen Christian. I want to be one that doesn't want to be heard, but that only wants Jesus inside of him to be seen. So then death worketh in us. He said, but life in you. There's a light of God inside of us, which is his life, that is made manifest to the world as me and you lay down our mortal flesh. If we think we have the right, you're taken away from who God is. If we think we have to say it back, we're taken away from who he is inside of us, and the world will just see another Christian. See, we have a treasure hidden in earthen vessel. There's something inside of us, a power, a love,
that God wants me and you to show to the world through the dying process. Meaning, don't do it. Don't say it. Know that, Homer, the contradiction that you feel, the hatred and the anger that you feel sometimes, it doesn't come from your spirit. It comes from a corpse. It comes from the body of sin. That boy is what you are to crucify. That is the mortification process. When we say no to the body of sin, my friend, Christ lives in our spirit. The body of sin was the same before we got born again, and it's the same after we got born again. That's what we crucify. We don't have the right to say it when he doesn't want us to say it. But we have the right to say it when he wants us to say it. We don't have the right to do it if he doesn't want us to do it. We don't have the right not to do it if he doesn't want us to do it or do it. You know what I mean? We have to know and comprehend what it means to die the death. John understood it. By this, we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments, they're not a burden to us. Isn't that amazing? This is how far I am. This is how far I am from revelation knowledge. John said his commandments are not a burden to us. But we think that, oh, it's so hard. But John said it wasn't. Could it be that he knew more about the power of God inside of him than I know? I say yes. He said his commandments, they're in us. They're not grievous to us. Do we got a ways to go? I do. You might not. I know I do. You don't believe me, ask my wife. He said, his commandments, he said, they're not grievous. They're not a burden to do. But he concluded that his life in God was lived out of his spirit. He concluded that he carried a corpse. And the corpse that he carried, the corpse that spoke to him, is the corpse that he crucified. Because we have a treasure hidden in earthen vessel. There's a death sentence inside of us, meaning we don't have any rights. I heard the coach. I'm a very, very patriotic American. Me and my house, our hand will go on our hearts during the national anthem. I will honor the flag. I will honor the African-American, the white American, the Mexican-American, the Haitian-American that have died defending my faith. I will honor them. If that makes me deplorable, then so be it. I'm a deplorable. We have to understand the love of God and walk in it. Because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Beloved, let us love one another. God cannot and will not be seen in the world to me and you die the death. We won't. He won't be seen. John said, his commandments, they're not grievous, but we say they are. But we say they are. I say they are. But he said they weren't. His commandments, he said, they're not grievous. Why? Why are they not a burden to me and you? Because whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. The moment you said yes to Jesus, Homer no longer existed. Homer was crucified with Christ. Now the life of Christ lives in Homer, and that's what we live out of. We serve God with a pure conscience, putting on the new man. We think they're so hard. John said, they're not a burden to us. When I wasn't born again, doing good was hard. Because the good that I wanted to do was not in me. Evil was in me. But now the good that I am to do, I can do it because the good that I want to do, the good is in me now. It's written in my heart. John said, it's not a burden to do good now. Because the good that I would, Paul said in Romans, is the good that's in me. Always bearing about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. For we that live, that's us, are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. His life is only manifested in our mortal flesh when we die the death. Meaning, you tried to make me mad, I didn't have to get mad. Meaning, you stole from me, it doesn't matter. I'll get it back. Not at your expense and not taking you to court. My wife left my house. It's okay. Christ is in me. He didn't leave me. I'm not going to fall to pieces. We die the death. I have no money. Not me. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter. You still have the life of God in you. That is enough. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you will get provision, my friends. We've got to conclude and understand how this love is lived out through me and you. We have to die the death. That's how we teach society. That's how we teach the world. Matthew 5, he said, if you do and teach, you shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. He said, if you do and teach. The teaching in context there was not verbal. The teaching in context there was, it's me and you do, we teach. Not we say and teach, though we do teach with words, but in context he's saying, but if you do and teach, you shall be called the greatest in the kingdom of God. Meaning, I teach you by what I do, not by what I say. And if I teach you by what I do, he said, I'm going to be called great in the kingdom of heaven. It's not that I got a point for doing good. It's that I loved him. That's why I did good. He said, and if you do and if you teach, the teaching is by the doing, by the mercy. The teaching is by the doing, by putting on the new man. He said, you shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. We've been teaching for years in the body of Christ. There's a reason why the Apostle Paul, the Apostle Peter said, judgment must begin in the house of God first. There's no differential anymore. There's no differential between us and the world. Because our noses are not stuck in this book. Yeah, Homer, but I pray in the Spirit. That's good. So do I. Keep on praying in the Holy Ghost without reading this word. Keep on. Keep on. We got to transition out of the mindset that praying in the Spirit fixes everything. It doesn't fix everything. We still have to put on the new man. Praying in the Spirit will reveal the truth inside of the truth, but it won't do the truth for you. It won't do it for you. I had a friend of mine that just had a relapse recently. First thing he said, oh, I got to fast it out of me. No, you don't. You just got to not do it. Fasting is good. I'll fast again. I'll lock up tomorrow and pray the majority of the day in the Holy Ghost. Because he's going to reveal to me what my weaknesses are. And it's up to me to deal with that infirmity. It's up to me to deal with it. He'll reveal it. It's up to me to do it. And
and distort it. That's what he does. He's God. I had a relapse. I did this and I just got to pray it out of me. I got to fast more. Yes, you do. You got to pray. You got to fast. But you got to not do. Don't do it. That's called the dying of the Lord. That's called the dying of the Lord. The hardest thing in the world for me and you to believe is that we didn't have to say it. It's hard. Now, we'll say it. We'll confess it because it's biblical. But to actually believe it is another thing. Well, I did it. I don't know why I did it. Yes, you do. If the word of God is true, and it is, and it says that sin has no power over me and you, and we say we don't know why we did it, the word of God says we're free. We don't know how we did it. The word of God says we're free. Then why did we do it? If the word of God says we're free. Because why? Because you wanted to. The hardest thing in the world to believe is that I didn't have to do it. It's the hardest thing for me still to believe. But it doesn't mean that his word's a lie. It just means I don't want to quite believe his word yet. The dying of the Lord. That his life in us will be made manifest to the world. For if you do and teach, you shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Keeping our appointments with him. I said a while back, off subject, a little rabbit trail. The reason that most businesses fail is because lack of, people don't know how to administrate their business. People don't call nobody back. They have no telephone skills. You got to call customers by their name, man. You got to make them feel like you need their business. Make an appointment. Christians are there late. Make an appointment. You missed the appointment. You don't have the decency to pick up the phone and call, say, I'm running a little late. That's why Christians struggle. Our appointments with the Father, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And if that's the case, when darkness comes knocking, we're going to give in to it. Don't let nothing take you from your time with the Lord. Personalize it. When I sit there and I hear my CDs, I hear Alexander Scorby. But what I'm really hearing, listen, is the word of God. My Father is speaking to me in that closet regarding how he wants me to live. Don't just count it, I'm going to pray in the Spirit for 2 hours, just to say that you prayed in the Spirit for 2 hours. When you hear the word of God and you read it, that's your Father talking to you. Homer, this is what I want of you, son. Personalize your quiet time. It's God speaking to me and you. It's the Holy Ghost exhorting, comforting, and edifying us when we pray in the Spirit. It's God Almighty. It's not just another time that we go through. It is, we're partaking of the word. Our Father is speaking to us. Personalize it. Okay. When I hang around people that are struggling in their walk with God, it's so easy to figure out why they're struggling, because they do everything but pray. And if they're not listening to Jesus, I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to leave you alone. They do everything but pray in the Holy Ghost. They do everything but read the Bible. I don't say nothing to them anymore. If they're not listening to the third person of the Godhead, my friends, they ain't going to listen to me. We have to die the death. We have to die the death. Walking in the love of God. He said, by this will all men know. This part I never understood in closing already.
He said, by this will all men know. And this got to me, Terry. I understood it, but I didn't understand it. John 13, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. What did he say after that? If we love one another. This is a part that I understood it, but then I thought about it and I didn't understand it. He said, by this will all men know. He said, all men are going to know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. I said, okay. I know that if I walk in love, I can win someone over. But he said, all men would know that I was a disciple if I walked in love. So then if one saw my good conduct in God and it didn't faze them and it didn't move them and they still renounced Jesus as Christ, did they know that I was a disciple of Christ based on the love that I walked in, even rejecting the gospel? Did they know that I was a disciple of Christ? Did they think about it? If I'm living holy and somebody's winnable, and I win them over by my conduct and by the life of God being made manifest, and they feel God's glory and conviction, if they give their life to Jesus based on the love that I walk in, what about the one that didn't give his life to Jesus because I walked in the love of God? Then they know I belong to Jesus? Yet he said, by this will all men know. Yes, my friends. Yes. Just because they chose not to receive the gospel doesn't mean that they didn't know that I belong to Jesus. Are you with me on that? When I walk in love, even those that reject the message of Christ crucified, even they'll know that I belong to Jesus, but they just denied the fact. Are you with me? So if I win one over because I'm walking in love, they'll know that I belong to Jesus. And the one that I walked in love in front of and still rejected Christ, whether this lifetime or the next, they're going to know that I belong to Jesus. It is the utmost importance that me and you know that walking in the love of God in a narrow sense. Now, I'm not getting all flaky on you, getting that entrance into the kingdom of God is all inclusive. No, it's not. You must be born again and you must turn from sin. You must turn from sin after being born again. Because he that's born of God sinneth not, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's a hard one to swallow. What do you do with that verse? He that's born of God sinneth not, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is. What do we do with that verse? We seem so distant from it, but nonetheless, it's true. The apostles had already concluded that their life in Christ was lived out of their spirit. The corpse that they wore meant nothing to them. They kept that corpse where it was supposed to be, on the flesh, on the cross, or in the grave. They concluded that. If we live our life out of our spirit, we'll never sin. If we walk according to the operation of the flesh, we'll fall, friends. Our spirit has been made so, so, so righteous. We've been crucified with Christ. And these men, they had one platform. It wasn't riches. It wasn't glory. It wasn't fame. It was so that the Almighty God would be seen by their walking of self-denial, even unto death. History says that as Simon Peter was being martyred, that he told his wife as he hung upside down preaching the gospel, live your life well. Live your life well. Dying upside down for the gospel of the kingdom. By this we know, John said, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments, by the way, church, they're not a burden. They are not a burden, Miss Terry. They are not a burden. That's our faith. That is the gospel of the kingdom. That is the gospel of the kingdom. The putting on of the new man. We're dead in this world, but alive unto Christ. Dead. We carry a corpse. The Greek says the word mortify in Colossians 3 is a corpse that's lifeless, rendered weak. So something that does not have the operation of God, which is our flesh. Listen to this, and I'm done. So something that does not have the operation of God living in it defeats the saints of God that have the operation and the life of God inside of their spirit. That don't even sound right. Something that does not have the life of God, which is the flesh, the mortal body, the body of sin, it defeats most of the saints of God that have the life of God in their spirit. Something that does not have the life of God in it defeats most Christians that have the life of God in their spirit. That is a hard pill to swallow. A lie, a false narrative, an ideology defeats saints that have the life of God in them. That, my friends, proves to me, point validated, that it is a manner of absolute choice. Either I'll let my light shine or I'll let my flesh completely smother it. Because of a lie, because of my senses. Our senses have defeated us for so long. I got news for you, senses. I'm starting to understand it. I'm starting to understand it. Amen. I don't have the right to hurt you. I don't have the right to defend myself when you try to hurt me. I take that right sometimes, but I'm in error. I don't have the right to offend you. I don't have the right to take an offense from you. I don't have that right because my spirit has been made righteous and I serve God out of my spirit. If I let you offend me, I left the operation of the new nature and walked according to the body of sin. I did not die the death. Chapter 3 of 1 John, he said, but hereby, perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us as we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. John was saying, this is how we saw God in Jesus. It wasn't that God sovereignly appeared in the life of Jesus just because he was God. What he was saying was, life, Christ lived such a life of self-denial. He laid down his life for us so that we would see the life of God in him. See, we can't live how we want and expect God to be seen in our midst. No, it does not work like that. Though that's popular church doctrine without even preaching it. He said, hereby perceive we the love of God in Christ. Because he laid down his life for us as we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. And whosoever has this world's good and seeth his brother have need, shut up his bowels of compassion from him. He said, how dwelleth the love of God in him? I am pouring in sweat. Beloved, let us love one another. Anybody got the time real quick? Anybody? Okay, got about 5 minutes in me. Something happened yesterday, real minor. It was minor to me now. If it was happened 5-6 years ago, it wouldn't have been minor. It would have been pretty big. But my son David, I call him Baseball Dave. That's my boy. He's Baseball Dave. You know, he's been playing Pop Warner football. He hadn't really played because he was a little, he's overweight. So he worked real hard. He worked real hard. He sat out 4 or 5 games because he couldn't make the weight. He had to lose weight. And finally yesterday, he lost the weight and he made the roster. He made the team and he played yesterday. And by league rules, if you don't play a kid the minimum plays, you have to cancel the game. And his team won in double overtime against a real good Fort Myers team. And they won. And he worked real hard. He was up in the morning walking, sweating, trying to lose that extra weight to make the weight he wanted to play. Been practicing for 4 or 5 weeks, and he had never made the weight. He made the weight, and he was all happy. And the game was real close, and he's not a starter. He's just learning how to play the game. He's just learning. Strong little boy, but he just doesn't know how to play football yet because me and his brothers, I can't teach him yet. His brothers hasn't worked with him, so anyway. But according to Pop Warner rules, if any kid does not play his mandatory plays, that game has to be forfeited because they didn't play the plays that they were supposed to play. So my son David only played 3 plays. Working real hard, lost all the weight, only played 3 plays. He was supposed to play 10. But they falsified the records and say that he played 10. He didn't play 10, he played 3. Now, I coached Pop Warner football for 18 years. I know the process. I know who you can complain to, and that coach can get in trouble. I know the process. I know that they will make him forfeit that game. But the coach was a gentleman. He came to me and said, Mr. Betancourt, I apologize. He said, I have no excuse. I promise you, sir, the next game, he'll play as much as he wants. I could have done 1 or 2 things. I said, no. What you did was wrong. My son worked his butt off to play, and you were mean to him, sir. No, sir, I will not put up with it. And I could have completely destroyed my testimony in front of that young man. And I said to him, don't worry about it, man. Don't even have to explain to me. It's a non-issue. He said, really? I said, yeah. It's a non-issue. So you mean I'm going to call this man a bad man and a bad coach because my son didn't play all the plays? Or do I let something that's a non-issue be an issue? My friends, it's a non-issue. That man knows what I do and who I am. Maybe, Kirsten, maybe, just maybe, I sowed a seed of love in his heart. Just maybe I sowed a seed in his heart. And you know what, Kirsten? It wasn't hard. It was real easy. Real easy to do it. Because I want the life of my Father manifested forth out of my mortal flesh. That's why we live. John wrote the book of 1 John and told us who God was based on the lifestyle of one man. Let it sink in. the conduct of one man put into the heart and mind of the Apostle John who God was. What if the Apostle John was to write a book about me and you on who God was? And he had to absolutely write what he saw in our life for 3.5 years. What would he write in that epistle? Well, Homer had good intentions, but man, he was moody as heck. Would he write in that epistle, Homer loved his wife, but he liked to flirt? What would he write if he had to write the absolute truth about me and you? What would he write? And if that writing were to be exposed to the entire world, what would he write if he wrote an epistle about you? What would he write? Oh, these young men, they're so good in church, but at home they can't keep their fingers off the computer. What would he write about us? Thank God that'll never happen. And I'm sure you say amen with me, right? Because the Father knows our inconsistencies. And we have weaknesses. That's okay. No, it's not okay, but you know what I mean. But it's when you don't care about them weaknesses that puts you in trouble, my friend. When you're content in being the way that you are and do nothing about it, you are in dangerous ground. Your conscience might be so seared that you don't even know it's seared anymore. Because you've been in that state for so, so long. I think I'm done. Amen. Amen. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And the commandments that we're asked to keep, they are not a burden to us. Let that sink in. Let that sink in. Amen. Do we enjoy ourselves this morning? Hallelujah. Stand with me, please. Come join us again this Wednesday. We might have part two of this Wednesday, the love of God. So come with us on this journey of walking in the love of God, of putting on that new man. Amen. Father, we thank you so much, and we bless you, we worship you, and we exalt you, Father. We choose to abide by the true gospel of the kingdom of godliness, Father. We worship you, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' precious name. And everyone said, amen. See you Wednesday. God bless you.